Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net, which has everything from a built-in player to hear each episode there, links to various podcast platforms where you can listen and subscribe slash follow, logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, as well as join the Facebook group. Plus, the website has a bio about me and even an area called For Listeners, where you can submit prayer requests. I have been making sure that the website stays up to date, including adding more platforms where I'm finding out that the show can be heard, such as Good Pods. And this morning, I just got an email that the show has been added to an app called Gaana, G-A-A-N-A. You might not see all of this because there is so much to see on CatholicSportsRadio.net, and that's all thanks to Merchantside Marketing Group, who built the website. I still remember when I was getting the show started and being at my weekly Christian Business Connections meeting, and the owner of Merchantside Marketing Group hearing me talk about Catholic Sports Radio and him getting so excited that he said, "I want my company to build a website for that," which I was really flattered by, given the award-winning websites that they have done. And to me, that's the kind of person, the kind of company you want to do business with. And yes, it absolutely helped that he is a strong Christian. Use one of the ads on CatholicSportsRadio.net to go over to Merchantside Marketing Group's website and get in touch to see what they can do for you and your company, your organization, your business, your product, your service. And please let them know that you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. As we near the end of the NFL season and games get more and more important with playoff berths on the line, we see end zone celebrations that get even more animated with the player or players involved in the scoring play or the big defensive play trying to grab an even bigger spotlight. Similarly, even NHL goal celebrations have turned much more attention-getting than they used to be. Athletes have gotten pulled into a look-at-me mentality, trying to impress fans in attendance, as well as those watching on TV or even in replays posted to social media. We must recognize these situations and resist the urge to be pulled into that type of mindset. There is wisdom to this effect in the New Testament, where in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, we read, "Am I now currying favor with human beings or God? Or am I seeking to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a slave of Christ." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the executive director of CYO for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, where he oversees 24,000 youth and 7,000 adult volunteers. He spent 27 years as the head football coach of the 10-time state champion Royals at Roncalli High School, a co-ed Catholic high school in Indianapolis. He led the program to 7 Indiana football state championships and was named Coach of the Year 12 times. He has been inducted into 3 Halls of Fame, and in 2017 was the recipient of the prestigious National Football Foundation Distinguished American Award. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Bruce Cyphrus.
Thank you, Bruce. It's very good to be with you here today.
Yes, thank you. And let's start by having you share where you were born, what the family size was, and what the faith foundation was in the household that you grew up in.
You betcha. I was born in Plainfield, Indiana. There were 8 kids in my family growing up within the span of just over 10 years. So Wow. We were all very close in age. I was right in the middle of that pack. And interestingly, I actually am not a cradle Catholic. Our family attended an interdenominational church kind of out in the area that we lived. And my parents were very good about instilling solid faith formation and, you know, foundation in our life. And so grew up in the faith, just not, you know, a part of the Catholic Church yet.
I see.
But very, very strong Christian family, very proud of that.
I did not mention this in the intro, but as a student athlete, you played three sports in high school. I'm guessing that it's because you weren't Catholic yet that you didn't attend Roncalli. Is that why? And then also, which three sports did you play?
Not being Catholic, yeah, would have been the reason, primary reason I did not attend Roncalli High School. And the three sports, I played football, basketball, and ran track. I was a sprinter and also a thrower, shot and discus, and enjoyed all three sports, played all 4 years of high school. And at that time, I guess that was a primary part of my identity.
Mm. Yeah, in fact, you played football at Butler University, and theirs is one of the three halls of fame that I alluded to in the intro that you've been inducted into. Clearly, you were all about football at that point in your life, but did you have a relationship with God then, or was football your God?
Oh, good question. Yes, I did have a relationship with God, and I think it goes back to family upbringing. And yes, God was always very much a part of my life. Bruce, I would say that like most, I think we have phases of our life, and I'm old enough now I can look back on it and kind of identify them, where maybe we are more strongly connected with God, and I think with maybe what God is calling us to do and how we should live our life. And I think for a lot of us, maybe those high school years, maybe in particular college years, and maybe right out of college, perhaps we fall away from what God is calling us to do, maybe in our weekend conduct or that type of thing. Still, God was in my life and a very strong influence in my life. I was probably the typical college student, and again, first couple years out, same thing. And looking back on that now, I understand that and can appreciate that, I guess.
Well, and on a related note, and this actually harkens back to episode 80 of this show when my guest was Father Michael Leitner, who was also a successful college football player to the point of being invited to try out for the Cleveland Browns. Folks, if you never heard that episode, go back and listen to my conversation with Father Michael Leitner on episode 80, because he tells an amazing conversion story of pursuing the priesthood instead of the NFL. And Bruce, in your case, similarly, you were invited to Cincinnati Bengals training camp. Did you go?
Yes. I was honored to have an opportunity to do that. I was one of those guys. I was a bigger for a running back. I played tailback in both in high school and college. I'm 6'2", and back then I was about 210 pounds. I wish I was still about that weight now. I was a bigger guy, I guess, for a running back, and so. But I wasn't really fast enough. I was told I was about a step too slow to play in the next level. And I wasn't really big enough, heavy enough to be, there was some discussion maybe of playing tight end, but I was going to have to put on quite a bit of weight. And so, yeah, I was just kind of one of those in-between guys. I was a bigger running back for back in that day, but not quite fast enough to play running back. At that level.
Interesting.
But it was an honor to have the opportunity to at least give it a try.
Yeah, I'm sure. So after college, you began teaching and coaching at Roncalli High School, but that only lasted for 3 years. Talk about that.
Yes, that was really my first experience, strong experience with the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith. And it was a wonderful indoctrination, into Catholic high school football. One of the assistant coaches while I was playing at Butler was Bill Kuntz Jr., he also from a large family, but very devout Catholic family. He became, in the fall of 80, the head football coach at Roncalli High School and asked me to come with him. I majored in history, social studies, and so for 3 years I taught and coached. I was assistant varsity football coach. I taught U.S. history and world history. Mm. I was also the head track coach for those 3 years from 80 to 83. And again, that was really my first exposure to Catholic high school sports. And Bill was just a phenomenal person, coach, teacher, mentor, and again, really kind of showed me what Catholic school sports is all about.
Mm.
I was there for 3 years, and then I think a lot of people go through this, perhaps. I looked at some of my friends who were teaching, coaching in the public school system, certainly a higher pay schedule with the public schools, you know, nicer facilities, and those things, yeah, just kind of drew me away. I left Roncalli. I was 7 years in the public school system, and a lot of nice people, a lot of great kids, great coaches. But I found myself, you know, during that 7 year time period, really just there was a void. There was something missing in my life, something missing in my heart that took me a little while to put my finger on it. But yeah, there was a void after I left Roncalli. Yes.
Mm. And folks, you hear these stories on several episodes of this show, and it really hits home with a lot of what we face in our everyday lives. Things like seeing something bigger, shinier, more expensive, in this case, the lure of making more money and being around an environment that has better facilities. And you heard me phrase it earlier when I asked Bruce about football when he was playing in college, and here he was at Butler University, and my question was, did he have a relationship with God, or was football his God? And these are kind of checkpoints that we can have in our own lives to see, are we worshiping sport instead of God, as I say many times on this show, and are we chasing after something because it looks like, oh, well, this is going to make me happy, because in the case of the story that Bruce just told, well, it's going to pay me more money, so there's probably going to be a lot more joy there. And so you'll hear his story continue on. But first, I want to mention this is the last episode of the year for Catholic Sports Radio for 2021. And I want to thank everyone who has been listening this year. And I also invite you to contact me and let me know maybe an interview or two that you listened to this year that really touched you, one that you really enjoyed, or something hopefully that impacted your faith life that you heard on this show during 2021. I really do love hearing from listeners, so please let me know that you're out there. Use any of the social media platforms that are linked to on the website to send me a message, or just go to the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net to write in through there. Maybe tell me where you listen from, city, state, country, whatever, and some feedback, what you like about the show, what you don't like, what you wish I would do more of, what you wish I would do less of. But let me hear from you. I do want to make sure that all that I'm doing here is worthwhile. This is a ministry for me, and I don't get any income from doing it, nor do I have any sponsors. So we might as well make sure that it's impactful. It would do my heart good to know that it's making a difference in some people's faith life. If you're listening to this into 2022, it's okay. You can still write to me. It doesn't have to be a time-sensitive thing to wrap up 2021, but I always enjoy hearing from listeners. And I certainly thank those that have made a financial contribution to Catholic Sports Radio in 2021, listeners and guests alike, some of whose names I have said on the air. That definitely helps with the costs that I face and the challenge of otherwise having to try to find a way to cover them out of my own pocket. But making a financial contribution to Catholic Sports Radio is also an indication that there is value being gained from what I'm doing, and it lets me know that folks are enjoying what I do and getting benefit from all that I put into this. Do please consider supporting my efforts with a one-time contribution. On CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a Donate to CSR button that makes it fast and easy for you to contribute securely online in any amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever amount you're comfortable with. Do please prayerfully consider what you can do for this ministry in terms of financial support to help me offset the various costs that I have detailed over a number of episodes of this show. By the way, instead of doing it online electronically through the website, alternatively, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net to ask for the mailing address, and I will personally write you back with details on where you can send a check. I'm grateful to everyone who listens to the show and would most appreciate your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to use this ministry to bring more people closer to Christ. In 1990, the head football position at Roncalli opened up, and Bruce, you went back there to start what I mentioned in the intro would be 27 years at the helm of that program. Share with the audience about the four-pronged philosophy that you committed to early on.
Yes, I felt so grateful to have the opportunity in the fall of 90 to come back. And as I mentioned, you know, there just was something missing in my heart. And when that position, the head football position, opened going into the fall of 90, I was excited about the opportunity to go there. Even though I took a bit of a pay cut, it's still, you know, just the environment, the culture of the school, the faith-based mission, all of that, just I was looking so forward to getting back involved with that. And so, you know, because of that, faith first football is how I kind of like to phrase it. The four priorities I always set for our staff, we always talked about this every year and made sure anytime we brought new staff members on board that everybody was on the same page. But priority number one was faith formation first and foremost. I made it very clear we're going to work very hard to win football games, but without question, our number one job as coaches at a Catholic school was to help the young men we served get to heaven. That was priority number one. And then priority number two, character development. I believe that the platform of athletics is so powerful in teaching life lessons to young people. It's life-changing, really. We want them to, through their football experience, many years down the road, become better husbands to their future wives, to become better fathers to their children, to be good, faith-filled men, leaders in their homes and in their communities. And so character development was always a big thing. One of my favorite sayings along that line is a good coach will improve a player's game. A great coach will improve a player's life. And again, that was something I always really emphasized with our coaching staff, and everybody was on board with that. Priority number three was we wanted them, obviously, to get a great education, a great Catholic school education. In all my years of coaching, we had some really, really good football players. Again, was blessed to be a part of several state championship teams. But through all of that, we only had two young men go on to play in the NFL. And I always used that story, that concept that, you know, most of you are not going to make a career out of playing professional football. And so let's get a great education. That's going to determine the rest of your life financially, the kind of house you're going to live in, the kind of car you drive. Education emphasis was right behind faith formation and character development. And then priority number four was to have fun with the kids and teach them how to play a game and help them become great athletes and great football players and hopefully to win games in the process. And I grew to believe over the years that if the first three, the faith formation, the character development, and the great education were in place and the kids bought into that, they were going to be good football players. They're going to work hard, lift hard, stay focused and play with a sense of higher purpose. I think that's always the advantage. People talk about the unfair advantages that Catholic schools have. I believe they do have an unfair advantage. But to me, that advantage is that sense of playing for a higher purpose beyond just themselves, playing to thank God for the countless gifts that we've been given, to play every play until the last whistle blows. As hard as we can to make the most of those gifts, the ability to run, jump, catch, throw, tackle, block, all those things, to make not only our parents and families proud, but most importantly, to make God proud. To me, that's the essence of Catholic school athletics in general, Catholic school football in particular.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I imagine that because of that four-pronged philosophy that you just described, one of the many, many challenges that a coach has is to get the players to all play together as a team and support each other. And I have to believe that because of, like you said, one, two, and three, number four, maybe 4A would be that we're going to be better football players together because of 1, 2, and 3.
Absolutely. And you know, you hear this saying from time to time, that the three F's, faith, family, and football. And we used to talk about our Roncalli football family. And again, I'd say, you know, again, being a history teacher for many years, you know, the two strongest forces in our life as far as evoking emotion and passion towards something would be our faith, certainly, but then our family, you know, the desire, the urge to protect and serve our families. And so I think, again, that all ties in with our Catholic faith in sports is, you know, faith first, but then how that affects us as a family. We all pull together. We have each other's back. We're going to be loyal to each other. And again, we're going to fight together every day to make the most of the gifts we've given. And when we get everybody on board committing to that concept, coaches and players alike, that's when the magic happens. When good things take place.
Yeah, it's good to see young student athletes become good teammates, never mind individual performers on the field, on the court, on the ice, whatever sport it is that they're playing. Folks, back on episode 87 of this show, my guest was Bob Latassure, who coached for 35 years at De La Salle High School, a private Roman Catholic school for boys in California, becoming the subject of a major motion picture called When the Game Stands Tall, starring Jim Caviezel. Upon Bruce Seifert retiring, they did a short film called Coaching for Christ, which you can watch on YouTube. I will put a link to that on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net. The reason I'm bringing this up is that, unfortunately, we need to move on, but I did watch that short film, and it will give you a lot more insight into the time that Bruce Seifert spent molding the student athletes at Roncalli. But it also segues nicely into the fact that, yes, he did leave at some point. And so, as I mentioned in the introduction, Bruce, I do want to give you a chance to talk about all the work that you and your staff do present day for the CYO of Indianapolis, especially since that's what you left coaching at Roncalli for.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll just share very quickly that I attended, this was 6-7 years ago, a coach's retreat. They had us take about 45 minutes to go off by ourselves and write a personal mission statement. And I thought it was a great idea, you know, for two sentences for what we want in our life right now, but also in our career. And my personal mission statement that I wrote was, my mission is to live my life in a way that is pleasing to God so that I might make my parents, wife, children, and extended family proud. I want to make it to heaven and ultimately bring as many people with me as I can along the way. And so as I wrote that and I prayed on that, when the opportunity 5 years ago presented itself to there was a gentleman, Ed Tender, had been a longtime executive director of CYO, had announced that he was retiring. As I prayed about that, I thought, you know, gosh, we feel so good about the work we've done with the young men we've coached at Roncalli, but this would present an opportunity to represent so many more people. So, you know, again, over 20,000 young people, you know, over 6,000-7,000 adult volunteers. To impact those lives, and again, to help as many people get to heaven as we can. That was the motivating factor, kind of the evolution, I guess, of my faith, and led to my decision to retire from teaching and coaching 5 years ago and head into this new role as executive director of CYO for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And it's just been such a blessing in my life.
Ironically, you stepped away from one sport, meaning being the head coach at Roncalli, and now in your position with the CYO of Indianapolis, you have how many sports as part of the program?
We have 8 sports for boys, 8 sports for girls.
Wow.
We have a large summer camp opportunities. We have science fair. We have chess club. We have vocal and instrumental, you know, choral music contests. So it's a broad range of things. We offer to kids very wholesome, faith-based opportunities for youth. And again, it's an awesome place to be.
Wow. Outstanding. And folks, before, when I was mentioning about the guest on this show from episode 87, Bob Latasseur, and I mentioned the movie that his story was told in, When the Game Stands Tall, starring Jim Caviezel. Bruce, Jim is going to be a speaker on April 2nd at an event that you will be at also.
Yes. Cincinnati Men's Conference, as you said, is taking place on Saturday, April 2nd. Coming up here, and he's one of the keynote speakers, and I firmly believe that there's two things we can do to improve our faith connection with God. One is to pray every day. Our prayer is our connection to the greatest force in the universe, and to make time to pray every day. But the other is to connect with other people of faith. And so the conferences, I mentioned the coaches retreat that I attended there was really a life-changing experience for me 5 or 6 years ago, redirected my career path. And so, this conference coming up, the Cincinnati Men's Conference, I highly recommend it. Jim, I'm looking forward to listening to him speak. Raymond Arroyo, also from Fox News and EWTN, is also kind of a co-keynote speaker. Wonderful opportunity. And I think along with prayer, again, connecting ourselves with other people of faith is a great way to let our faith grow.
Well, and there's also something else that you've done on top of everything that we've talked about to this point to try to help other people grow in their faith, which is that you have authored 3 books. And since you just talked about the men's conference in Cincinnati on April 2nd, maybe just talk about one of your 3 books, the one titled A Real Man, A Guide to Becoming the Men Our Wives, Children, and God Want Us to Be.
Yes, I wrote that actually about 10 years ago. It was 2011. I just felt that, and this does tie in with the theme, the topic of the Cincinnati Men's Conference, is the importance of men stepping up in transformational leadership. Actually, the most recent book I wrote is on transformational leadership for us all, men, women, children, grandma, grandpa, whatever. But yes, being a transformational leader for others, in helping them transform their lives. And I think when we throw a faith component into that whole mix, it's just a good way for us to redirect our lives. And so, the book for men, I just firmly believe men need to step up, need to become spiritual leaders in their homes and in their communities. This transformational leadership concept, it could be life-changing, and it could change the world. I think we need this more than ever in our American society today. And I enjoy writing. It's therapeutic for me, I think. Been blessed to be able to do that.
And speaking of making change, as we wrap up here, I do want to give you a chance to share with the audience about your conversion story to the Catholic faith, but also please, by all means, share with the audience too about your wife and kids, including how long you have been married.
Oh, you betcha. I'm blessed to be married to my wife, Jackie. We are approaching our 35th year of marriage. We've been blessed with 4 children. 2 boys and 2 girls, Luke, Abby, Caleb, and Maggie, and very proud of all of them. They're all in their 20s, late 20s, and just the family is everything, faith and family, and conversion to the Catholic faith. As I mentioned, I was raised in interdenominational faith-based family, and in 1999, my wife, Jackie, is from a large, very devout Catholic family. We had been married for several years, and I was teaching and coaching at a Catholic school and going to Mass every week with her and teaching the Catholic faith as part of my career. And yet, it just, I was always making excuses. I didn't have time, whatever, to go through the RCIA program, and they were weak excuses, basically. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, finally, I just decided, you know, we had committed to raising our kids in the Catholic Church. I was teaching in a Catholic school, and I just made sense. You know, I was angry with myself that I had delayed as long as I did, and in 1999, again, converted to the Catholic faith. I remember receiving communion for the first time. Ironically, our oldest son was in second grade, and he and I received communion at the same Mass for the first time for both on the same Sunday, and it was powerful. And I'll share this with you, Bruce, still today. Every time, every Sunday that I receive communion, it's still powerful. And so it, maybe in that way, it was a blessing to be delayed a little bit in my entering the Catholic Church. But still, a very powerful life-changing opportunity in my life each week.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Bruce, God bless you and your family, and thank you for all the work that you're doing with the CYO of Indianapolis. It's been great having you on the show. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Bruce. It's been an honor to be able to share our faith, and thank you so much. God bless you for the work that you're doing and the impact that you're making. You're a difference maker, and God bless you in that work.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot. And listeners, let's close this week as a nod to all the years that Bruce spent as a coach. Let's close with a prayer from the National Catholic Coaches Association, and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Corinthians 15, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Lord, we all want to win. Above the desire to win, teach us to remember our victories toward godly living as we learn to obey you and your word daily. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak. Have a happy new year, everyone. And remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.